Today's reading is going to be in the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. John 8, verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." If you are reading along with me from the English Standard Version, you may have a note in your Bible that says the earliest manuscripts do not include chapter 7:53 through chapter 8:11. The translators who did the English Standard Version worked very hard to be as accurate as possible and try to be as true to what they could determine was true inspired text as they could. We have two basic texts that we go from in terms of translation, and many have used one particular text. I can't remember the names of them right off the top of my head. I'd have to look, but a lot of translations use one, and ESV used the other, which did not have some of these small passages in them. However, I want to make this point is that just because they are the earliest manuscripts that we have doesn't mean that they are the earliest manuscripts. In other words, that we don't have the originals at all anymore. We have copies. And some of those copies come from various sources and get put together because, for example, some of the so-called church fathers, those that were living at the end of the apostles' life and guided the church after that, wrote some things, and they would quote long passages, and sometimes that's where we get a few things. The reason I'm telling you this is if you saw that in your Bible, don't let it distress you. If it was something that was out of character, something that seemed out of place, I'd be more concerned about it. But it doesn't bother me that one text may not have included this small passage of verses versus another text. When I look at this, I see that it fits with the theme that's going on here, everything that's happening, and I don't worry about it. So don't let it bother you. If you see that it says some texts don't include it and you don't want to read those verses, then, you know, that's up to you. But I don't think that there is a threat to our faith nor to the accuracy of the Bible to look at those verses as well. Now, having said that, I do consider these verses to be, again, in line with everything else that we read, and so I do use them. And so this case where this woman is brought before Jesus, they say they've caught her in the act of adultery. They're doing this to test him, and he makes this statement, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." So he turns it around on them, and he forces them to think about their own situation before God. He convicts them is what he's doing. And when he gets them to think about their own sin, then they're no longer willing to condemn her, and they leave one by one until it's just her. And when he asks, has no one condemned you? She says, "No one." And he tells her, "Go and from now on sin no more." He gives her the opportunity for repentance. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was making a call to repentance as he proclaimed the message of God. Now, starting in verse 12, you have Jesus making this statement, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And almost as soon as he makes this statement, the Pharisees are jumping on him again, and they're saying, "You can't testify about yourself. We can't trust that as being true." And he points them to the Father. That's in verse 16. He says, "The Father bears witness about me." And that's important to realize. Even Nicodemus saw that, going back to John chapter 3. Yet again, he told him, "We know that you wouldn't be able to do these things unless you were from God." So there's your witness about him. He would not be able to do those things. So it was very evident. But then in verse 19, they sort of ignore all this. And they said, "Where is your Father?" They ignore that he's talking about Jehovah. And he says, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He's not saying that they don't know anything about the Scriptures. He's saying, "You don't really know the Father, and you don't really understand. You don't comprehend. You've blinded yourselves. You've made yourselves dull of hearing." And twice in this passage, verse 21 and verse 24, you find Jesus telling them that they will die in their sins. And so Jesus is speaking of life and death, eternal life, eternal death, and they can't see past little things that they're nitpicking about. They're worried about, do we have more witnessing about him? Can we really accept you? They're not looking at the Scriptures that would testify about Jesus. They're not looking at the evidence based on what God is doing through Jesus, as far as miracles that would prove what he's saying and where he comes from. No, they're ignoring all of those things because that's inconvenient. They don't really want to listen. And Jesus hones in on this quite well. Just like he did with the woman who was brought to him, and he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone against her." Now he's turning it around and he's trying to tell them, you need to think about your own sin. You're so worried about everybody else when you're not even thinking about your place before God and whether you would die in your sins, eternal death. And so twice he gives them this warning, but they're just ignoring it. They just see Jesus as a threat and they're going against him and ignoring that the real problem is their own sin. Now, if we think about that for a moment, we realize that it's easy to look at everybody else. It's easy to point to everybody else, and it's easy to nitpick at everybody else. It takes strength of character, and it takes some courage to look at ourselves honestly and undergo that self-examination in which I'm really going to look honestly at whether I am sinning or whether I am faithful, whether I need to repent. And we need to be careful that we don't fall into this same trap, that we worry so much about everybody else and we're willing to nitpick at everybody else, but we're not willing to really take a close, hard look at ourselves. The danger is we would die in our sins, our fate would be sealed, and we'd be lost forevermore, separated from our God. It would be a terrible situation indeed. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.